Welcome everybody to another great episode of Hockey in the Classroom. As always, Matt Walsek with you, accompanied by my buddy down in Dallas today. Tony, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Not a lot of exciting things going on down here, but enjoying it while I can.
Oh, well, that's good. But we had some exciting things in college hockey that happened this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
That we did. That we did. A few upsets and whatnot.
Why hold back here? Let's just dive right into it. And Tony, we're gonna, as always, we're gonna dive right into Atlantic hockey, and not so much happened in Atlantic hockey that would surprise us when we talk about the upsets that we have later on in the show here. But the same old Atlantic hockey. Sacred Hearts at the top, Army's battling for the number two spot, trying to battle for number one. And then we got a good three-way battle between AIC, Robert Morris, and Air Force. I think really for me, the only thing that was disappointing is I don't think Robert Morris came out real hot this past weekend, splitting with last place Mercyhurst.
Well, either did Sacred Heart. This was an interesting conference this week where Army and AIC had big weekends. When you look at it, AIC with three games less played than Sacred Heart sits a mere 6 points behind. Sacred Heart got a tie on, I believe they tied on Friday, and then lost 5-2 to Canisius on Saturday. So we're talking about those weekends where you need to make noise and get those wins and get those points in the standings, and they didn't do it. And just like you said with Robert Morris and Mercyhurst, you got to get a sweep when you're playing the last place team, and they didn't do that.
If we're talking about teams that took advantage of their weekend, I think we need to talk about Air Force. Air Force getting a much needed sweep against Niagara this past weekend, and really, I guess, kind of trying to help their cause here. And then they're 9 points away from Sacred Heart, and we still got quite a bit of hockey left to play. And they've 2 games less than Sacred Heart right now. So you think about if they got two more games under their belt, I mean, they're right there in the top three, if not the top two. So Air Force, one of those teams took advantage of one of the, bottom feeders of this conference. Sacred Heart, Robert Morris did not. And come towards the end of the regular season here, which is, fastly approaching. This could come to haunt Sacred Heart and Army at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at this week, Robert Morris has another big one. I mean, AIC is coming to town, and now they're getting a good team, and we'll see. This could be disastrous for Robert Morris. I think if you lose, what, 6 points on the weekend, we're talking that you're not going to win the conference, but it really comes down to that seeding portion if you're going to get a home matchup during the playoffs.
And, if we're talking about another weekend of needing to take advantage, how about Air Force at Holy Cross this coming up weekend? And Holy Cross is, in the bottom three of this conference, not playing well. It hasn't really played well all season. Only 5 wins in the conference. It's just an offense and defense that's just been struggling all year. Air Force got the job done this past weekend. Do they get the job done this coming up weekend? And really, help themselves and help the cause come down the stretch here. So that's going to be intriguing just to watch out for. And then, yeah, like you said, I mean, AIC at Robert Morris this weekend, that's a series where, Robert Morris really needs the wins and AIC doesn't want the losses. So that will be an intriguing battle of 3-4 seed going at each other down the stretch here. And then we got our couple bottom feeder games, Bentley, Mercyhurst. RIT versus Canisius is kind of intriguing to me a little bit, just because Canisius played so well over against Sacred Heart this past weekend. So Canisius is trying to gain some traction, but it might be a little too late for them. 22 points in conference.
And RIT is really not out of it either. They've played the least amount of conference games next to Mercyhurst. And I mean, they're sitting 15 points behind Sacred Heart, but they've got 4 games less played. So, I mean, RIT is another team that really looking to make some noise in this really last third of the season. Looking at it though, if teams like AIC and Army, who has a weekend with Niagara, I mean, there's a good chance that we could be talking that Sacred Hearts drop down to possibly third place in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's just right now the Sacred Heart is playing to lose their top spot right now. especially after this past weekend. And Army at Niagara this weekend, talk about another team that needs to take advantage of this upcoming weekend. This could be a series where Army might get two W's here and try to jump Sacred Heart for the one spot. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's right now on paper, I would have Army sweeping Niagara, but you just never know. I mean, based on the results we got last weekend.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't want to look too far ahead and cut into what we'll talk about a little bit next week. Well, I guess we'll dive a little bit deeper, but I'm starting to look ahead, and Sacred Heart Air Force is coming up. That might be a huge matchup, but AIC and Army right now are getting some of those bottom teams in the conference, and that's where they can start picking up ground and picking up points. So it should be interesting to see what these next weeks have in store for us in the AIC. Or in the, excuse me, in the Atlantic. I do want to note that two teams in the Atlantic Hockey Association are picking up votes in the USCHO poll this week. Army and Sacred Heart are both receiving votes.
And I mean, well respected too, Sacred Heart and Army. I mean, despite this past weekend has had great seasons so far. And you made a good point though about, some of these teams that are getting the bottom feeder teams down the stretch here, and these are the points that, I think we talked about at the beginning of this of the year. These are the points that you can't sit on, or you can't, afford to lose on as we get closer and closer to playoff time. And for some of these teams, like an Air Force who's sitting at five in the conference, Army who's sitting in second place in conference, AIC's third, they're getting the bottom feeders at what, we could argue is the right time. And it's basically up to them to see, we're going to see if they're going to take advantage of the scheduling. And then, for the bottom feeder teams, it's can they play spoiler for some of these teams that are looking to go, go the distance, go to the big dance here. So it will be intriguing to see how not only this coming up weekend plays out for not just this conference, but we got a bunch of other games and other conferences to look forward to, but down the stretch as well.
And what we really need to look at in this conference, so I just looked did a little bit more research. I should have known this before. All 11 teams make the conference tournament in Atlantic. However, the top five teams get a bye.
So the bye will be key. And I'm guessing after the bye, then we got home ice advantage.
Yeah, so there's four rounds. So the first round will kind of be the bottom six teams. Higher seed will host. Round two will then be the remaining teams, and the higher seed will host. So I'm guessing it's the top four seeds will getting home ice.
So I mean, it's still a lot to play for if you're really like RIT, Air Force, and Robert Morris who are still in the hunt, looking not only for the bye. RIT right now is on the bubble out looking in respect to the conference playoffs. But now it's also we want you want not only the bye but you want the home ice advantage as well. In college hockey, we've all seen home ice advantage is a big advantage.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean that's the biggest key. At the end of the day, I think you want to be one through five, but you really want to be one through four in this conference when it's all said and done.
No, I agree. But Tony, switching gears here, as always, we always jump to the ECAC and not as probably as congested as maybe some other conferences here. Clarkson and Cornell look to kind of, I shouldn't even say that. I mean, it is kind of congested here, but
Very congested.
Clarkson and Cornell really are the two teams that have really stood out majority of the season. Really overall playing extremely well. Harvard started up hot. We know that kind of has kind of fallen down a little bit here. And Quinnipiac, who started at the bottom, has really kind of clawed their way back. So, I mean, it is a little congested here, but Clarkson and Cornell really are the two that really shine out of this conference and have really shined majority of the season.
Yeah, they're definitely the heavyweights in this conference, and I mean they're teams that I mean I think you and I will be in will be talking about is teams to look for to make a run to the Frozen Four and make that trip to Detroit. But it should be noted in the polls, Harvard comes in at 16, Quinnipiac's at 17, like you just noted, and then Dartmouth cracked the top 20 at number 20. So Dartmouth making moves right now as well. They don't really have a lot of games played, but that's just the nature of that conference and the Ivy League starting later than a lot of the other schools. But yeah, when you're talking about congestion, I mean, 7 points, I mean, I guess 8 points separate Clarkson at number one and then Yale sitting back at number eight. Granted, Yale's got a little bit more games than a lot of the other teams in the conference, but yeah, this is definitely a top heavy conference. Last week though, Dartmouth had a huge weekend. I think when you look at the teams, Dartmouth was probably the team of the week in the ECAC, just strictly beating Clarkson 3-2 on Friday and then taking care of business against St. Lawrence, which is 1-12 in conference right now, so they should. But they had a really good weekend and it helps them in climbing up in the polls and in the conference.
Yeah, I would agree. Dartmouth, and Dartmouth had some key wins earlier this season too. A couple, I'm gonna say the word split, even though we know in this conference it's not truly a split because they're not playing the same team majority of the time on Saturday that they did Friday. One of the things that we really are not the biggest fans of on this podcast because it just makes trying to figure out what's going on in this conference a bigger headache than we would like. But yeah, I think the one thing too, Tony, I mean, Dartmouth, yes, I would say that was a huge win for them. And Clarkson, talking about leaving points on the table, they did it right there. And not really good for Clarkson too, considering Cornell is only 3 points back and they're 3 games less played than Clarkson. So when you're talking about leaving points on the table against someone that's right on your heels and still has three extra games to play to catch up to Clarkson. That wasn't, that's not a good sign for Clarkson that they did that. But the one thing I did want to know, something we talked about last week, or at least I've mentioned, Northern Michigan was at Cornell. Northern Michigan, who's playing very well this season in the WCHA and is fighting for a playoff spot. Non-conference at Cornell, I believe, was number two team going into last weekend in the USCHO and walking out with a 2-2 tie. It really, for me, shows that Northern Michigan and the WCHA is able to compete, and vice versa. Cornell is able to compete with the WCHA and Northern Michigan because, come playoff time, or I should say, come the big tournament, maybe Northern Michigan makes it, and we see Cornell, Northern Michigan in this. Who knows how the seeding will be. But it's not one of those where it was a lopsided game or a one team favorite game. So that was a good matchup to watch there. Some key wins, Harvard over St. Lawrence, games that needed to be taken advantage of to gain more points. But then Harvard, unfortunately, falling to Clarkson the next day, 5-3. Northern Michigan ended up falling to Cornell the next day, 3-1. So not a split weekend for Northern Michigan. So to speak. And then Dartmouth gets a what they need, a much needed win over a struggling St. Lawrence team. So Dartmouth picked up a lot of good points here this past weekend.
Yeah, and that's a team that, I mean, deservingly so jumped into the top 20. So I want to note again, we're talking about it's really now it's starting to look at that conference tournament. And when you look at the ECAC right now, if the season were to end, we would see three ECAC teams in the tournament, and that would be Cornell, would that be a one seed, Clarkson would be a two seed, and then Quinnipiac would get in as pretty much the last team in the tournament. But when you mentioned before, and Dartmouth and Harvard really aren't too far behind. They're sitting at 19 and 20 respectively in the pairwise. So I mean they're not far out of the picture, and especially with if Dartmouth can build on that momentum from last week. But they've got a huge weekend ahead of them. A couple road games and one of them is at Cornell. I mean, shoot, you get a win at Cornell, that would be huge for them in the pairwise and climbing up into that spot where maybe they're looking at becoming an at-large team. But talking about the conference tournament, so looking at it, the top four, all 12 teams qualify, top four seeds get a bye into the quarterfinals. So that 1 through 4 range is really important.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see that. That's going to be the common trend in majority, if not all, the conferences in college hockey's really come the conference playoffs. And for the college hockey fans that are new to this, we have tech. I mean, Tony, I mean, we can maybe, I guess, simplify it and call it two playoffs. You have your conference playoffs, and then we got the big tournament that leads into the Frozen Four. And I think the trend that we've been noticing and we've seen in the many years that we've been watching college hockey, you and I, is you want the top four in your conference playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pretty much every conference, that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, before we move on, I did want to note though. I mean, this is a big weekend for Cornell. They got their first game on Friday against Dartmouth, who's coming off a great weekend this past weekend. So you got a hot Dartmouth coming in, and then you got to take on a really good Harvard team that's really trying to get their foot back, on the right track here, after a little bit of a slip up towards the end of December, beginning of January. And so it's two big tests for Cornell this weekend. Points that this could either help Dartmouth and Harvard get closer and closer to the top for a top four spot, and could hurt. Or we're talking, Cornell is gonna, kind of ex pull away from Harvard, Dartmouth, and potentially Quinnipiac, and RPI respectively too, who we're not really talking about, who's quietly sitting at third in the conference.
Yeah, and they have Union this week, so that should be a week where they could get some points. One thing I wanna touch on quickly is there is a rare late January tournament going on. The Connecticut Ice Tournament will be taking place. So you have a couple ECAC teams in here. You got Quinnipiac will take on UConn, and then Yale will take on Sacred Heart. So I mean, there's going to be some really good hockey with Yale, Quinnipiac, Sacred Heart, and you hit on UConn a couple weeks ago, and they're starting to play really good hockey. So this is kind of quietly going to should be a really good tournament.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that 100%. And then, and also something we're not really touching based on the non-conference game this weekend for our ECAC team, and that would be Clarkson hosting Arizona State this weekend. And Arizona State, we know, is a offensive, prolific team, and Clarkson, who is one of the top teams in the nation, so that will be just an intriguing matchup from a non-conference standpoint. And if Arizona State makes the big dance with Clarkson again, this is a matchup that maybe we could see if Arizona State makes it. I think we can kind of maybe agree that Clarkson, I think, is going to be one of those teams I think we'll see in the big dance here. Arizona State right now, I think, is on the bubble, as le at least as of last week from the pairwise standings. But it just another intriguing non-conference matchup, and we'll see how Clarkson and Arizona State fare against each other.
Yeah, to me that might be the best matchup of the weekend, or right up there. Clarkson coming in at number 8 in the country, like I mentioned, and Arizona State coming in at 13. Arizona State's faring a little bit better in the pairwise, sitting at 11 right now, but that's a huge weekend. I mean, I think this is a huge weekend for both teams. But I think it's a little bit bigger for Clarkson, or excuse me, for Arizona State, because they don't have the conference tournament. And if you could pick up a weekend where even a split against a really good top 10 team is going to help them get off really that bubble area, which if you're not in a conference tournament, you don't like sitting on that bubble.
No, I mean, and if we're going to just kind of slowly switch gears here, because I don't think we talk about Arizona State as much as maybe we should. And really, it's because they're the independent team. So it's hard to compare them really to different teams and different conferences, because their season every year for the last couple of years now, it's kind of all over the place. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Clarkson's really their last big tough game. I mean, if we're really going to, say if there's another big weekend, it's the following against Robert Morris, who I think has been kind of on the downslope a little bit. And then after that, we're talking Holy Cross, Bentley, Alaska Anchorage, and Wisconsin, all teams that are at the bottom of their conferences and haven't been playing great college hockey all year. So I mean, really, you pick up, some solid wins against Clarkson and Robert Morris, and you can kind of hopefully coast through the remainder of your season. And you might be sitting really well in the pairwise here, and we're seeing Arizona State in the big tournament.
Yeah, they've set themselves up into a good position. That's for sure. Should be noted, if you have ESPN Plus, Clarkson and Arizona State will be on ESPN Plus, so a little
Oh,
bit of
nice.
opportunity to watch some really, really good college hockey. It looks like a 5:30 Mountain Time, so that's 6:30 in Chicago and Dallas each night this weekend. So
I'll have to see if I can get a hold of that. But Tony, I think we're switching gears here a little bit, and where we want to go next? WCHA, Big Ten. We got a lot of good college hockey conferences to talk about here.
let's jump in the WCHA. Let's keep our traditional
All right, sounds good. So WCHA, kind of the same story week over week, and that's Minnesota State leading the charge. And Bemidji State, though, not far behind, and Alaska and Northern Michigan, who I mentioned earlier in the podcast here, at 3 and 4 here. But it's the same story, Tony. And it's the top heavy. It's really the top four teams are kind of locking themselves in here down the stretch for not only the conference playoffs, but the rest of the season.
Yeah, and keeping to that theme, that's the position you want to be. You want to have that home ice. But being 1 and 2 is going to be huge. That meaning you can pretty much ride until the championship game in your home ice. And right now it's looking like that's going to be through the state of Minnesota, the state of hockey, with how good, like you mentioned, both Minnesota State and Bemidji played. But I'm really excited because I mentioned we talked about Clarkson and Arizona State. I don't know. Maybe I'll say it for every single conference and change my mind. Minnesota State Bemidji to me is the game of the week. Second game of the week. The other one's in the women's game. We'll talk about that later. But Minnesota State hosting Bemidji will be huge. I mean, Bemidji can jump into a tie with Minnesota State. Now, I highly doubt they're going to take two games in Mankato, but crazier things have happened.
That's true. I mean, I would think this is the game of not only the week in this conference, but in college hockey as well. These two teams, I mean, Minnesota State, who's been what the 1, 2, and 3 team in the nation so far this year, is one of the best offenses and one of the best overall teams defensively, goalies. And I'm just looking, Tony, real quickly, see if Bemidji State played Minnesota State earlier this year. Looks like they did. Was it a one game series? Maybe it was. Looks like maybe it was a Christmas term, and they ended up losing 2-0 to Minnesota State. So they've seen Minnesota State once already before. They got them at Minnesota State, and then would you know? They're ending their season at home against Minnesota State. So that will be a fun way to end the regular season, Minnesota State. Especially if Bemidji State is still the number two team there and only a few points back. Bemidji State, I think, quietly creeped up to number two. And I think, Tony, we talked about this last week a little bit. And we talk so much about Minnesota State. We joke about Alaska is always splitting.
And
Northern Michigan Tech.
they didn't split last weekend though. They
They
got a
did it.
sweep.
They got a sweep against a struggling Fair State. Northern and Michigan Tech have been up and down at different points of the season, and Bowling Green's just kind of maintained their status here. And then, the bottom feeder teams here, Lake Superior, Alaska Anchorage, Ferris State, and Alabama Huntsville. And we really, all of that overshadows, surprisingly, Bemidji State, who's sitting at number two and has been having a great season so far.
And they're more so hot. They've started playing really well in conference, which you obviously want to do, but right now they need to win the conference. They're not sitting in a great spot nationally when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Sitting in a really good spot in the WCHA, but right now they are currently receiving votes. They're not ranked in the polls. Minnesota State comes in at number 3 behind Cornell and North Dakota. NMU is at 15, and then Bowling Green's coming in at 18. But let's be honest, the USCHO poll really doesn't matter anymore at this point. When you're looking at the WCHA, it is currently a one bid league. Minnesota State would be the number 2 overall seed in the country. But after that, Northern is one of those teams that's just outside the bubble. And then Michigan Tech and Bemidji are kind of in that area where they're hanging around, but you don't necessarily want to be where they are right now, because you definitely have to make up some ground. And that's why having them getting home ice even to until the championship is so big. And that championship matchup, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it might be just a one game series. I could be wrong, but
Well, we
maybe
could
it's a
check
series.
that. We could check that. I mean, I think the nature of a lot of these conference series, at least the championship games, and I'm basing this off of really only a couple hockey conferences being the NCHC, Hockey East, and the former CCHA. But championship games, I believe, have always been a one game series. It's always been that first round that conferences host at most a three game series before they move on. And I think that's really just from a scheduling standpoint with the how the season plays out. But to note real quick, I mean, Bemidji State, I think, minus the Minnesota State series this weekend and then them ending at Minnesota or ending home against Minnesota State. The season or the rest of the schedule is setting up nicely for them. And they're getting a lot of offensive contribution through not just a couple players, but at least right now five. Aaron Miller and Adam Brady, excuse me, are leading the way for this team at 21 points and really are their goal scorers here. And then they're getting, assistance from Owen Sillinger and Elias Rosen and a couple other guys out here. So, I mean, they're spreading the puck around. Bemidji State, I think, is in a good spot here. If you can at least split with Minnesota State this weekend and come at the end of the year and the last weekend of the regular season against Minnesota State in your own barn and try to hopefully walk away with two W's here. Bemidji State could be in the driver's seat for the number one spot in this conference, also depending on how Minnesota State finishes the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did look it up. It is a one game. And I mean, anything can happen in one game, the
That's
championship.
true. We've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen in college hockey in one game.
Also, I should note next week, Alaska hosts Northern as well. So.
Wonder if that's going to be a split weekend.
I'm gonna say it's going to be. That's my prediction.
And then we got a couple bottom feeder games here, Ferris State, Michigan Tech. That's Tech. If Tech's trying to make any kind of push here in the late runs here, you got to get a sweep over Ferris State. And then Alaska Anchorage and Lake Superior really not playing for much there. I mean, Lake Superior is at seven, but have a ways to go to even try to crack the top five there. So just playing for some brownie points there, for anything there.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony, but so does WCHA. Let's switch gears here. Big Ten had some big storylines this weekend, no pun intended, or maybe. And that being Michigan is on a roll right now. Four straight wins against two great teams in Notre Dame last weekend and Penn State this past weekend. Or I shouldn't say four wins. Did they get the shootout or overtime win against them? Let's check. Yes, they did. They did end up winning the shootout one. No, hold on. I'm sorry. Saturday one shootout doesn't even tell me who won the shootout. But ended up 4-4 tie against Penn State. And they get the, what was it, 6-0 win on Friday against Penn State. That's impressive. Michigan is pushing the gas pedal right now, maybe at the right time too of the season to get, and Tony, I feel like we're a broken record, the top four spot in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and honestly, like they've kind of switched up their approach a little bit. In the past, they've always kind of their version of the conference semifinals and finals. I think in Detroit, but this year they've switched it up a little bit. So you really want that number one seed. That gets you a bye to the semifinals. So that right now you're looking at Ohio State sits at in first place with 26 points. Michigan State's in second. Michigan State and Penn State are tied at in second with 25, and then Notre Dame that far behind with 20. So it's going to be really interesting to see that battle for that number one seed because it does matter so much. Then two, three, and four, obviously will get a home game in their first round, and then so I guess the moral of the story is if you're the number one seed, you might ha not have to leave your building the entire tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I like about this conference, Tony, and it's so not really just because it's only a 17 conference, so this already looks like a really close pack conference. But the, just looking at these scores, not, just for this past weekend, I mean, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Friday 4-4 tie. I'm sure, one of the teams, if I click on here, will tell me maybe hopefully who won the shootout, if it went to shootout. I don't know why CHN's website just tells me one shootout. I don't know what that means. What's interesting too is I didn't know this until this, I think, past weekend, but only a one round shootout. That's intriguing. So
Oh, jeez.
it one and done, I guess, or first one to get the goal. So an interesting thing. I don't know if I'm a fan of that, but it is what it is. I mean, I guess it gets the job done. But 4-4 tie, and then Ohio State gets a much needed 2-1 win. That really boosted them up to the number one spot in the conference. Tony, what I think when I look at this conference too, compared to maybe our first two episodes when we recorded, I don't think either of us could have projected that the top two teams at this point of the season would have been Ohio State and Michigan State.
No, I think Ohio State I'm a little bit less surprised with because I know they have some good talent and whatnot. But yeah, Michigan State came out of nowhere. But the crazy thing about this conference too is I don't think there's a bad team. I mean, Wisconsin hasn't played well and Minnesota hasn't played well either. But you can't tell me you're the number two seed in the tournament and you want to play Wisconsin or you want to play Minnesota. Because look at, I mean, Saturday Wisconsin got revenge on Michigan State and won 3-1. I mean,
No, I agree with you with that.
this is going to be a wild. I think this is could be a wild conference tournament.
I know, I agree. That's what I think. I really was not the biggest fan when the Big Ten formed in college hockey, and I think as we as this ages out more and more each season, and I get more accustomed that there's no longer a CCHA. The Big Ten hockey is fun to watch, and I think when they added Notre Dame, it just became more fun to watch. And I agree, there's really not a bad team. Now, the records won't show that. When you mentioned Wisconsin, Wisconsin has one of the top offenses in the country. It's that defense and goaltending that absolutely kills them. And we've talked about this in the past, and we will talk about it for the rest of the season. The just the defensive play and the goaltending in Wisconsin this season is just really killed any kind of hopes out, to make the big dance. I mean, unless they make some type of run in the conference playoffs, and that's not to say that it can't happen. Minnesota has kind of been the same thing, been up and down, one of those historic programs that just hasn't gotten their foot consistently in, this whole season. And Michigan turning it around, what possibly could be at the right time. And then Notre Dame, started hot, and they've been up and down a little bit in the middle of the season. Can Jeff Jackson turn that program around here towards the end of the season? And then you have your top three teams, Penn State, Michigan State, and Ohio State, who've been kind of flip-flopping between the three most of the year for the top three spots. And you mentioned, like, we weren't really surprised maybe by Ohio State. We know that they have a solid offense and they got some good goaltending. And Michigan State, though, really has been the biggest surprise, as I think we wrote them off before the season even started. And here they are. They're getting big wins when they need them, and sitting in a good spot in the Big Ten.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately for them right now, they would be, if the season ended right this minute, they'd be that first team out. They're sitting right in the bubble. They're sitting at 16 in the pairwise, which really the top 15 get in because no one in the Atlantic's going to get an at-large bid. So, but yeah, they're setting themselves up in a good position. Not a bad spot to be in at this time of the year with some big games ahead of you. You take care of business and you'll be looking at a trip at a ticket to the big dance in March.
And just to note, big weekend for Michigan State as they're hosting Penn State this weekend. So, do we see Michigan State maybe pull away from a couple Penn State by a couple points this weekend, or does Penn State, jump Michigan State? We'll see how that one plays out, but we'll see if the A team can razzle the Penn State hockey team and help the boys in green get two W's this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean I keep saying it with every single conference, but I'm so excited for that matchup. That should be such a great great series with huge implications.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the thing about Michigan State hockey, for our listeners who might not know, I mean, Tony, when we were in college, Michigan State, that program with the Torrey Krugs and the Chelios brothers, that era of Michigan State hockey was one of its better years. And Michigan State's a historic program from the early 2000s and the 90s especially. And I remember going to their barn when Western played them, and that was a fun game to watch. That's a great arena to be in. So if you've never been to the Michigan State Arena for hockey, it's a great arena. Not sold on the A team as the student section, but the student section is there in the corner of the arena there on ice level. And it could be a tough barn to play in, so we'll see if Penn State how they fare at Michigan State. And so it's nice to see though that program has really turned around after what maybe 5, 6 seasons where it's just been kind of non-existent.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's nice seeing those historic programs go back to where they were.
I agree. All right, Tony. So we got the Big Ten covered. We're down to our top, I think our top two college hockey conferences. Where do we want to go first?
Let's jump right into Hockey East.
All right, so Hockey East. This one keeps getting more and more intriguing. UMass is now number one in the conference. BC number two. I think a week ago they were both at 5 and 6 or something in the middle of the pack here. This conference just kind of blows my mind every time we look at it, and something that we kind of projected in an early season. We're never going to know until the final game of the regular season who's going to be at the top.
Yeah, and honestly, BC to me had a huge weekend. They ended up beating Lowell 3-2 on Friday, and then got a win over BU on Saturday 4-3. Huge points for this weekend for BC. UMass has played two more games in BC and sit a point ahead of them, so they're sitting in a good spot. BC does have a big series this weekend against Maine. Maine currently is on the outside looking in when it comes to the Hockey East playoffs or tournament at this point, but that's going to be a big weekend. UMass had a nice weekend sweeping Vermont. They have a home and home with New Hampshire this weekend. Now, to me, the series of the week was Providence, New Hampshire, and it was a split. It was kind of what you'd expect to, you probably expect maybe Providence to kind of maybe get a sweep in there, but New Hampshire's a really strong team and they got a split. Providence got the win on Saturday, winning 5-1, and New Hampshire won 4-3 on Saturday. A tight matchup Friday night. Lowell rebounded on Saturday to beat Merrimack, and then Northeastern. I mean, you mentioned it you, again. I'm going to mention how you mentioned UConn a couple weeks ago. I think you're onto something. They beat Northeastern, who's one of the top teams in the country last week, 3-2 on Saturday. So, hats off to UConn. And I mentioned they play in that Connecticut hockey tournament, their ice tournament this weekend, and that'll be a big one. They've got Quinnipiac, so they can really pick up some momentum going into the later part of the tournament or of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you touched based on the New Hampshire Providence series. Providence with that offense. I mean, earlier this season, I was arguing that they probably had the best offense in the country. Right now, I would say they're probably a top three offense. And when you play a New Hampshire team that just they're just a middle of the road team, at least in my eyes. I mean, they're sitting 6 and 6 in the conference play. The offense just hasn't been there for New Hampshire, but they do will get a win here and there. So not a team that you want to sleep on, especially hockey. I mean, regardless, I mean, maybe except for a Vermont team that's just I don't think has been Vermont since the good old Patrick Sharp and Marty St. Louis days that I know you like to bring up every once in a while. I just don't, Providence, that's just points you just left on the table there, and look at the result you dropped from the number one team or number one seed in the conference that you've had all year, and now you're tied for second below Boston College. So they did get the 5-1 win. They rebounded on Saturday, but Friday they left points on the table, in my opinion. But you mentioned the UConn, and UConn, let's just in quote unquote put it a sweep, 3-2 win over Maine, and a 3-2 win over even more impressive Northeastern. UConn is kind of like Michigan right now and has got their foot on the gas pedal. And are they hitting? Are they getting hot at the right time? And when we look at the points in Hockey East, they're at 14 points right now, maybe a game, two games more than some of the teams that are above them, but sitting in a good spot. And if they play out the rest of the season the way they're playing right now, who's to say that UConn isn't a top four team in this conference?
I still have a tough time saying that. It's just they, like you said, they have more games played, and the top four team, the top five teams really in this conference are just better than the other teams, I think. When you look at UMass, when you look at BC, Providence, Lowell, Northeastern, yeah, they lost to New Hampshire, but New Hampshire is sitting right now at number 18, I believe, in the pairwise. And receiving votes in the polls. So it's not like they're a bad team. They've struggled a little bit recently, but could some of that strictly have been playing? And I'm going to say it this year, Hockey East is the best conference. When you just look top to bottom, they've just got so much more power or firepower. Words are hard. Sorry, it's been a long day at a college fair and talked for 2 hours straight to kids about college. But yeah, I mean they've had a tough schedule, and I mean they're sitting there. I mean, being an at-large team is still at play for New Hampshire. That's just how well they've set themselves up. But yeah, the top dogs in this conference, and I kind of want to jump into the pairwise a little bit right now and in the polls. BC's coming in at 4, UMass is at 7, Providence is at 10, Lowell's at 12, and Northeastern's at 14 in the USCHO poll. And if I'm not mistaken, all five of those teams right now would be in the NCAA tournament, with New Hampshire kind of sitting just on the outside looking in, but not very far back.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me not to say New Hampshire is not a great team because they are a good team, you know. But within conference play, it's just they've struggled a little bit here, at least offensively. They're just not as prolific as a lot of the teams that are above them. And you know, we're gonna see that. I mean, not everybody's gonna be offensively prolific in this conference, and you know, that's just the way it is. But I agree, this is probably the top college hockey conference right now. You know, if we're talking up to this weekend, in just because it's so close. I mean, outside of maybe the number 9 team, 10 and 11, so we're looking at the top 8. The top 8 is close. And granted, there's a 3-game swing here because they've not all played the same amount of conference games. But regardless, we're still looking at a close conference here. And we're looking at some of the best offensive teams when we're talking about, you know, lighting the lamp here. Providence, Boston College offense is just rolling right now. UMass is getting rolling again, and Northeastern's been a top offensive team this year too. UMass Lowell, number 4, offense just hasn't been as we've seen in the past, but it's there. But they're a more rounded team, playing a good strong defensive game and getting some solid goaltending, and that's why they're sitting 4 in the conference right now and battling for a Hockey East championship.
They're the Dallas Stars of Hockey East.
You don't have season tickets to them then, do
Nah, it's a little bit too far of a drive.
Yeah. Key note here, a big weekend here. And you know, Tony, I think this isn't the trend this weekend. There's so far, I think in every conference we've talked about so far, there's been at least one solid matchup that we're looking forward to. And that's what my favorite about college hockey, a home and home series, UMass Lowell versus BU. I think that's going to be an intriguing matchup. BU, who really needs to get some points here to climb their way back up because they're not too far out, and UMass Lowell, who doesn't want to fall any further from the 4 seed and push for a top three.
Yeah, I had that one noted, but for me the big one is UMass and UNH. That's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, BU's in a position right now. So the top 8 teams make the Hockey East tournament, and right now they're sitting tied for 6. I would say they're in 6 since they've played less games than UConn, but yeah, they need to pick up some wins. Let's
Yeah.
just say that.
And the trend that we've been talking about all show here is you want the top 4 and going into the conference playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where Lowell's at.
So yeah, so Lowell, that's why Lowell, I have that circle. You don't want to drop from where you're at now. You just want to gain points and compete, at least stay in the top four and compete for that Hockey East championship. So, but we got a lot of hockey left, and especially for Hockey East, there's a lot of points left on the table right now. And like I said, we've said all season, we're not going to know who finishes in the top four, granted the top eight in this conference until the last game of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Tony. So we got one hockey conference left, and as always, it's the NCHC, which you can argue has been the best college hockey conference the last 5 years, as they got the national championship winners and some intriguing storylines. I think the most intriguing storyline for me, Tony, St. Cloud State, who was last place in this conference and was struggling in conference play, getting a sweep against Minnesota Duluth this past weekend, and now is sitting fifth in the conference, and only 4 points back from Western and top four spot. Again, here we go. You need the top four in the NCHC playoffs, and they're only 4 points back. And would you know, St. Cloud State is at Lawson Ice Arena this weekend.
Yeah. That'll be an important matchup. It's not the one I'm most excited about, given that North Dakota and Duluth will be battling in Duluth. But it definitely has a lot of implications for that who gets that final homes. I guess Western's not far behind Denver now that I look at, and not really far behind Duluth either. Which is crazy to me to think right now, but. Yeah, it'll be important. It'll be an important series, and I'm excited to see what happens. But yeah, St. Cloud, what a week. Last week, sweep in Duluth, Miami, North Dakota tied. We mentioned that could have been a trap. We mentioned it for both Duluth and North Dakota, I think, that this could be a trap weekend. Well, what happened to St. Cloud, or what happened to Duluth? Got swept. North Dakota tied on Friday night, then rebounded to get the 5-3 victory on Saturday. And then Denver and Omaha each tying both nights, and WMU taking care of business. So, but really looking at the points, I think we can start to say North Dakota is probably going to have the number one overall seed going into the NCHC tournament the way they're playing. Hey.
Yeah, I would say so too. I think it's coming down to the 2 through 5 seed right now. I'm not really, I don't want to say I'm writing off Omaha, Miami, and Colorado College, but right now those three teams have just not been consistently playing well all year. And St. Cloud State's really turning their season around. The same like a UConn and Michigan, probably at the right time. Western's finally 100% healthy. They got Matthias Samuelson back from the World Juniors this past weekend, or maybe it was the weekend before, and so he was back in the lineup. Western looked really solid this past weekend against a struggling CC. You mentioned, though, yeah, last weekend we talked about the Duluth St. Cloud being a trap game, and Duluth fell right through the trap, and St. Cloud took advantage. I watched on CBS Sportsnet the Miami North Dakota game on Friday, and Miami was looking good. I honestly, Miami should have ended up winning this game. They really kind of fell apart in the last few minutes here. North Dakota ended up getting the tie. And actually, I think at one point they were getting the lead, and Miami had to come back and tie it. Overtime was back and forth action, and then the unfortunate thing happens in the shootout. Larkin hits his pad, and it just trickles over as he's sliding one way, sliding left on his pads, and it just trickles over the goal line there. So that was I believe it was just a one goal shootout win for North Dakota. And Miami did not play bad Saturday. I know 5-3, you're gonna say, well, you're telling me they didn't play good, and then they did play well. I mean, it was kind of the same story in going into the third period, I believe, where Miami was, if not tied with North Dakota, more than halfway through that game. So they were playing good, and then North Dakota, though, kind of turned on the jets there late in the game to get the W. So, we talked about the trap game being there, and North Dakota fell for it in the Friday game, but got the W Saturday. Western, like I mentioned, they got the much needed sweep against Colorado College, and that really helps them to stay in the four seed there in the NCHC. And really needed to get the offensive going, because that offense has been struggling as of lately. And It's a good timing for Western too, because with St. Cloud coming off a hot weekend against Duluth, now you got maybe two hot teams right now in the NCHC, at least if we're just going off of last weekend, going at each other at one of the, if not the toughest barn to play in, and that's being at Lawson Ice Arena in front of the Lunatics.
I want to jump back to that Saturday Miami North Dakota game real quick because I have the box score up right now and I'm looking at it.
Okay.
And without actually watching the game, that game looks like it might actually have been a better game than the tie on Friday. So Miami's power play was really good. They scored three goals. They were 3 for 5 on the power play, so they really took advantage of that man advantage. But going into the third period, they were up 3-2. And then really North Dakota, I mean, essentially a 4-3 game, with the last goal was an empty netter, but North Dakota scored with just over a minute left to take the lead in the third period. So
Yeah,
what
I
an
mean,
incredible game.
and stick taps to Coach Bergeron over there. I mean, Miami, who started out slow, and you kind of expected that when you have a new coaching regime take over, when they've been in the Rico Blase era for what, over 20 years or something like that, close to 20 years, and he's really getting the program turned around. You could kind of tell, at least this past weekend, they're really buying into the system now and really getting their foot forward here. And they played well against one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team, being North Dakota. And the Friday game was a good back and forth chess match. Like I said, I think Miami really could have walked away with that win, and I think they let it go out, slip through the cracks there at the end. And then you just mentioned it was back and forth, and they played well against North Dakota on Saturday, minus the empty netter, really a 4-3 win for North Dakota. So they played good there too. And Tony, real quickly, talking about leaving points on the table, essentially, Denver Omaha, we're not really we haven't mentioned it yet, but 2-2 tie Saturday and a 1-1 tie on Friday. So Denver, who's what, the number three team right now in the conference, two ties Friday and Saturday. I mean, if you're at St. Cloud and Western, you're smiling and thanking Omaha here to keep them close to Denver and really close to Duluth too. You're thinking St. Cloud State, I guess. Really keeping the points close between the 2 and 5 teams.
Yeah, and it should be noted, Denver is number 5 in the country right now nationally. So they're really strong nationally, and they're sitting as a number 2 overall seed, or not 2 overall, as a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. And I mean, with this conference, they could easily move up to 1 or even drop down to 3, oh, 3 seed. But they've got a couple big weeks coming up. They have to go travel to Miami this weekend. Well, we saw what happened to North Dakota when they had to travel to Oxford, wasn't easy. And in the following weekend, they're back in Denver to host Duluth. So another big weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see how Denver rebounds after last weekend with two really tough series. But like single series for the most part in the NCHC is tough.
No, I agree. And if you're Western Michigan, you're looking to really kind of set yourself up nicely here. I mean, you have a At one point was a struggling St. Cloud State team and is now getting hot, coming in this weekend. And then Western is at Omaha, so you're hoping Western can get a 2 wins there. They're gonna have a non-conference series the following weekend against RPI, kind of a random non-conference weekend for them. Again, though, a team that I think they should beat. And then they're finishing off the year. The schedule right now, let's take a look here real quick. I know they end the season on Miami. I want to see who they have between Miami and RPI real quick. But if you're Western Michigan at the 4 seed, you're really hoping that this plays out for you the rest of the way to kind of set yourself up nicely. So they got Miami twice. So really, they got to go. They got Duluth coming to town, and they got to go to North Dakota, their second and third to last weekends of the season, and then they finish with Miami at home. So they're gonna have a tough end to the season. So really, this is you're looking for a lot of good points here in the middle of the road here if you're Western Michigan trying to stay in the top 4 of this conference, and if not, maybe push for a 3 or 2 seed if you can get the best of a Duluth and a Denver.
And honestly, I think with Western, that is a nice end to the season because there's some really good teams are in there. And they're not sitting in a good spot right now. And nationally, when it comes to the pairwise, they're sitting at number 26. But all of a sudden, you pick up a couple big weekends against North Dakota and Duluth, and then get some wins over like solid Miami teams and whatnot. You can start jumping up the rankings, and then you can make a little bit of noise and not necessarily win the NCHC tournament. And you could be sitting in at an at-large. I know it's a lot to happen, but it's you'd rather have those big dogs on the table in front of you in that situation. So they're basically playing playoff hockey right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And there's a few teams I think we can agree are, when it comes to the pairwise, especially in this part of the season. We're almost in February here, and now we're going to be in the home stretch when it comes to getting ready for the conference playoffs. Your playoff hockey starts now, and you get in playoff mode now, because any games that you walk away with a loss or even a tie, and you're leaving points out there, are points that are going to bite you in the ass come the end of the season. So, if you're a Western Michigan, you're St. Cloud State right now in the NCHC and a couple of the other conferences. These teams that are looking for not just a top four spot, but really are on the bubble looking in when it comes to the pairwise, your playoff hockey's got to start this weekend if it hasn't started already.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, well, I mean, Tony, I mean, that wraps us up here for the men's conferences here. I mean, before we switch over to the women's here, Tony, I just wanted to talk to you, and tell our listeners here, we mentioned early in the season about, a couple, getting some interviews here, setting it up here, and Tony and you and I have been in conversations with a few different people. I think we got some good ones lined up here. We're just kind of got to finalize some dates here when we can get the interview set up here. But for the listeners, those are coming. We got some good ones that are coming up from the women's side and the men's side. We're excited, Tony and I, are to interview these awesome people that have agreed to join us on the podcast here. And so I just really want to quickly let our fans know that that isn't lost on us. It's always tough around this time of the year with the holidays and everything, so we were kind of waiting for that to die down. And hopefully we're going to get these interviews locked and loaded in the next few episodes here, so we can share with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a new segment I wanted to start now that we're kind of getting close to the NCAA tournament and to the conference tournament time. And that's a little bit of bracketology. Bracketology with Tony. I've been doing this for a few years and usually only sending it to my buddy Plonsky. But just kind of looking at where the nice thing about college hockey is that you can kind of get a good idea where teams are going to sit. You're not really going to have the committee come out with just an outrageous thing of, well, we picked this team to be the 7 seed over this team and blah, 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 blah. You kind of know. And that's whether you love the pairwise, whether you hate it, or whether you just acknowledge that it exists. It allows us to kind of look at what these matchups could be. And this year, the four regionals are the Midwest regional is in Allentown, Pennsylvania, hosted by Penn State. The Northeast Regional is in Worcester, Massachusetts, I believe. I could be wrong there. I believe it's Worcester, Mass. And it is hosted by Holy Cross. The East Regional is located in Albany, New York, and it'll be hosted by the ECAC. And then the West Regional will be located in Loveland, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver, and it's going to be hosted by DU. So one thing to note is typically, the committee tries to keep it as close as possible when it comes to the number one team playing the number 16 team and two playing 15 and so on and so forth in the first round. But one thing that they always try doing is avoiding that interconference first round matchup. So an example this year, if it played out exactly like the teams are ranked in the pairwise, Denver and Duluth would match up in the first round, which they would then make a change and everything. So I just want to give you a quick idea of what I think that it would look like. The number one seeds this in right now would be North Dakota, Minnesota State, Cornell, BC. The two seeds would be Denver, UMass, Ohio State, Clemson. The three seeds would be Penn State, Providence, Arizona State, and Duluth. And the four seeds would be Lowell, Northeastern, Quinnipiac. And then right now I have Sacred Heart in there because they're sitting at first place in the Atlantic. I've kind of moved some teams around just because of interconference, and they also try to make it as close as possible geographically to the city. So right now in the Midwest region, my prediction we'll see North Dakota, Clarkson, Penn State, and Sacred Heart. Northeast region would see Minnesota State, Ohio State, Providence, and Northeastern. East regional would see Cornell, UMass, Duluth, and Lowell. And the West region would see Boston College, Denver, Arizona State, and Quinnipiac. So that's just kind of my prediction right now. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the next few weeks because we know there's going to be a lot of movement.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. But no, that's intriguing, and all those regions that you just mentioned and the teams that are in there, any one of those teams can easily win that region and walk out for the Frozen Four. So that's gonna if that's how it plays out, what you just stated, and there's a good chance it probably won't, because we're gonna see a lot of things happen over the next what is it, 4 to 6 weeks here that are left in the season. But wow, that's what's awesome about college hockey is the amount of talent, not just between four, five, and six teams, but every single team that you just listed there can easily win that region and a national championship, and it's gonna make the big dance a lot of fun to watch this year.
Can you imagine first round matchups that include Minnesota State, Northeastern, Cornell, Lowell, and BC Quinnipiac? That's a 1-4. That's why this college hockey tournament, why college hockey has the best tournament out of any college sport.
Oh, I hands down would 100% agree with that. If you're the football, take notes.
Yeah. We can't just have Clemson and then the SEC champion every year.
Is true. But okay, so Tony, I mean, if you got anything else for our bracketology, let's just switch gears here as always, and we finish our episodes here with the little women's college hockey.
Yeah, and there were some big matchups last weekend. Cornell, wow, Cornell picked up a huge 7-0 win over Harvard in a matchup of two ranked teams. Cornell really took care of business, winning 7-0. And then another one to note: Clarkson fell to St. Lawrence 1-0. Couple matchups right there in the ECAC with top 10 significance. But to me, the biggest thing was Ohio State and Minnesota splitting a series at Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. That's a tough place to play. Ohio State's going to have to go back there for the WCHA championship or for the WCHA tournament in all likelihood, unless they get upset in the first round. But because of that, Wisconsin was off. We saw Wisconsin and Minnesota flip spots in the rankings where it seems like one of them's one, one of them's two all season long, and I mean that could change again next weekend. I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier when we were talking Bemidji, Minnesota State. The best matchup in college hockey this weekend, men's, women. Okay, I'm saying screw it. In any type of hockey this weekend, the biggest matchup is at LeBron Arena in Madison, Wisconsin. The border battle, number one and number two in the country, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Maybe the only rivalry better in women's hockey is the U.S. and Canada.
Oh,
I, I'm not even kidding in that. I'm not even making a bold statement.
how is I'm just curious, if is the Big Ten Network gonna show that game, or because I just feel like with such a big game, and just the history and that rivalry, yeah, I would be shocked that that's not nationally broadcasted.
It should be, but my guess is it'll probably be picked up by Fox Sports North or something like that. But give me 1 second.
Okay.
I'm on
Well,
Wisconsin's website. It's
what?
actually not going to be on any type of TV. Or yeah, it'll be on Big Ten Plus, it looks like. So
Okay.
not any national, but if you want to listen on the radio, iHeartRadio, it'll be on at least on Madison stations, 100.9 FM. So it's definitely worth paying attention to. It'll be some really, really good hockey. One game I want to mention, where is it coming up? It's so in a few weeks, Wisconsin tends to do an event where it's called Fill the Bowl, where they'll sell tickets to, and this year it's Ohio State, so it should be a really big game. This will be in about 3 weeks. They played at the Kohl Center and they pack the Kohl Center. So it's a
Yeah,
really
and if
cool
you've never
event.
been to the Kohl Center, it's a fun barn to be in.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the nicer venues in college hockey, that's for sure.
But Tony, real quick too, and when I saw this, I think I saw this tweeted out a couple days ago. Stick taps to BU's women's head coach. I'm gonna butcher his last name, but Brian Dershowitz. And I apologize to him for butchering that last name there. But gets his 300th career win over Holy Cross this past weekend. It's an incredible milestone, and stick taps to him and the team there on a big victory over Holy Cross for BU.
Yeah, absolutely. Dang. What an accomplishment.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think we've had two now in college hockey this year, hit 300 wins, one on each side, the men's and women's, with Coach Motzko hitting it earlier in December with Minnesota. So two big milestones that we've seen, the 300 mark this season. So both incredible milestones to hit, and I'm sure many, many more wins to come.
Yeah, absolutely. One note I want to make with Wisconsin. I just saw this note from Todd Maluski, who's a beat writer for Badger Athletics. Sophie Shirley, who's one of the top players for the Badger women's team, she has scored in 11 out of 12 weekends this season.
That's extremely impressive.
Yeah.
I don't even know if anybody, I don't think I've ever seen that statistic before in college hockey.
Yeah, it's incredible. She's got 21 goals on the season.
Holy shit. So she's lighting the lamp, no problem. So, and I bet she's gonna light it up in the border battle this weekend, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Gophers held her down a little bit the last matchup in Minneapolis. So, again, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Well, I guess not really seeing it, but hearing it this weekend.
Yeah, well, you never know. You might hear it quite a few times this weekend if she can get rolling there. So, big weekend for Minnesota and Wisconsin, the women's side there, and a lot of good matchups coming up this weekend in women's college hockey. And just like the men's side, we'll see how this plays out towards the end of the year when we get to the final games here and see who's standing out on top.
Yeah, and I should note on Saturday, Clarkson and Harvard face off in a ranked matchup as well. So,
Oh wow, and they're what, only 3 points within the conference, I think, from each other, if I'm correct. So that's a big weekend for I believe, isn't Clarkson below Harvard right now in the ECAC in that conference?
they may be. I haven't really looked at
So
the
if they
rankings
are, I think
lately.
they're if I remember correctly, they're 3 points down right now. So it's a big weekend for Clarkson if they're trying to really gain some ground in what is a tight race in the ECAC on the women's side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this can go a long way in who gets that number one seed, and certainly within conference or within the seeding of the NCAA tournament. I have it up right now. Clarkson's actually struggling a little bit. They sit 6 points behind Cornell's really good. Cornell's the top team in that conference. I want to say I think they're number three in the country. They've only lost one game all year. They're 16-1-2, so they're having a really strong season, just like the men.
Yeah, no, I yeah, I think Cornell overall, both the men and women's, they're having a fun year in the sport of hockey over there at that school. So, and we're definitely going to see, I'm sure, both the men and women's in the playoffs down the stretch here.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And there's a good chance we could see them both in the Frozen Four.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. 100%. They're both strong. Both the women and men's team are both very strong, and I don't think we've really seen anything this any kind of hiccups this season from both the men and women's teams this year. So they're starting and consistently playing with a good foot on the pedal here, and I anticipate both the men and women's team to finish out the year strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Andy Bernard would be a happy camper.
But Tony, I mean, that's all I got for this week in the world of college hockey. I mean, unless you got anything else here for us?
I do not. All-Star Weekend in the NHL. I definitely recommend, especially checking out the skills challenge when we see the 3-on-3 between the U.S. and Canada and the women's side.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And if you haven't voted, vote for the your favorite women's player to partake in the different games this weekend for the what is it, accurate shooting, hardest shot, and all the other stuff and the speed skating. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the 3-on-3 most of all for U.S. versus Canada. I don't even care about the guys 3-on-3 anymore. I'm
No.
looking forward to just the USA Canada. That's going to be just as big as if they probably not as big, but just it's going to be close though. Like the Olympics, I'm sure everybody's going to have their eyes glued to that ice. And if you're watching from your TV to your TV, for USA Canada, that's going to be a fun. And I'm glad the NHL did that because not only does it incorporate the women's side of hockey, which we know has been in let's just say interesting story for this last maybe year or so in professional sports. So they incorporated last year, and now you're incorporating a 3-on-3, and you get to see them wear their the nation's flag, the USA and the Canada. That's awesome.
And I would say it's come a long way since 2017 when I remember the US national team was threatening to boycott the World Championships in Plymouth, Michigan at I think it was at CompuWare because of pay. So I mean really over the last 3 years seen some nice strides and I think women's hockey is just really picking up on that momentum especially with the Players Association coming on board this year. And I think it's only a matter of time before this really takes off, and we're looking at w one of the best women's professional leagues in sports. I think it's only a matter of time.
I agree. I mean, you just saw recently, the women's professional, the WNBA signed a big CBA agreement, raising the average annual salary for and setting the bar for what the for a lack of a better term, the lowest salary you can make in the WNBA. So to see the pay raise go up. I think that's going to be a helping block if we're looking at it from a financial standpoint to really help the professional side of women's hockey to kind of benchmark where women's hockey can be in hopefully comparison to the WNBA. It was awesome to see the WNBA do that because I think that's going to it's just a stepping stone to help the professional women's hockey side of it.
Absolutely.
All right, but I think that's all we got for this week. And so we got a lot of fun matchups to watch this weekend. I'm going to be glued to my TV and my phone to see how the scores and play out this week and see how the pairwise is going to fluctuate. And as always, watch college hockey.
Class dismissed.